Good morning, everyone. From wherever you are and wherever you may be watching, welcome to London Road Baptist Church and our second live stream service. My name is Mel, and I will be leading our worship. So let us take a few moments to pause and to still our minds. Let us open our hearts to God and to what he has to say to us and prepare ourselves to worship him this morning. Some words from the Psalms. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, and your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. indeed reign over all. You reign over everything. By you and through you, all things were created. You merely spoke, and the heavens were created. You breathed the word, and all the stars were born. The earth is yours, Lord, and everything in it. The seas, the oceans, the animals, the birds, the whole world and all its people belong to you. Yes, Lord, we belong to you. We are filled with awe and wonder. The whole world is yours, Lord. You love every part of your creation. So much so, and so deeply, that you died for us on that cross. Beautiful Saviour. John writes, "For God so loved it so much, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Lord Jesus, we belong to you. Your name is written on the label of our hearts. Jesus, my heart belongs to you.
You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have
for the times when I haven't searched for you. For the times I've gone my own way. Remind me of those times now. I search for your heart. I am told that if I seek you with all my heart, I will find you. If I draw close to you, you will draw close to me. If I remain in you, then you will remain in me. I search for your heart. Your heart for me. Your heart for the world. Show me, Lord. Your heart is a heart of love. Pure. And everlasting love. And as you show, I love you, says the Lord. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son Jesus. for in Jesus my love for you is revealed and made known. Nothing can separate you from my love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing. I know you, says the Lord. I know when you sit down and when you stand. I know your thoughts and all your little ways. I knew you even before you were born. I created you and chose you to be you. I planned your days before even one of them came to be. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Lead my life forward in the way you would have it go, Lord, according to your plans for me.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours.
Glory shine out through us, that the world will know you, Jesus, that they will see your face and know your great love for them, and that the power of sin and darkness will be broken.
Thank you.
thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me, for us. Amen. Okay, we're going to be joined now by two of our church members, Elspeth and Edwin.
Hello. It has been said that when you get to my age, you tend to spend a lot of time in the past. So I'm going back to early last year. I had a date for a cornea transplant. The eyesight in my left eye had got a lot worse. The surgeon persuaded me to have a local anesthetic rather than a general. I would have to lie still for about 2 hours, and anyone who knows me know that I can't keep still for 10 minutes. On the morning of the op, I had a bit of a cough, so I prayed that I would be able to keep still. God answered my prayer as I didn't move or cough. The worst part was when I got home, I had to lie on my back and look up the ceiling for 2 days and nights. The sight gradually returned. I will be forever grateful to the person who donated the cornea when they died. Also, thank God for giving the skill to the surgeon to carry out this procedure. Things were fine for 3 or 4 months, and then I had a detached retina in the same eye, which can happen sometimes, so it was back to the hospital for another operation. So I've had many checkups right through the lockdown. I've had a good chauffeur when I was not allowed to drive, but I cannot speak highly enough of the care I received at the James Paget Hospital. Back to home life. Since lockdown started, from when we were clapping for the NHS right up to now, we have talked to our neighbours, as we have all had more time and realized we have a good community all around us. So good has come out of the lockdown, so we thank God for his goodness. Now over to my lovely wife.
We have to be honest and say that for us, we have enjoyed life in lockdown. It has meant that we had more time together, and every day, life slowed down. Edwin was kept occupied with decorating various rooms in our bungalow so that all are now done and there's no more nagging. For me, continuing to help with prayer chain requests has been paramount, and phoning people who I normally would visit. In the flower world, I made it my aim to give everyone at London Road Baptist a small arrangement of flowers to ensure people were not forgotten. Money was used out of the flower fund. This is ongoing, and Lynn is helping too. In leisure time, I have knitted several blankets large enough for a double bed, which go to the Ukraine. I have also enjoyed reading, and together we have done jigsaw puzzles. The garden has entered into our activities, and in recent weeks we have laid some turf. The thing we have missed most is seeing the family, but we have kept in touch by Zoom at Christmas, emails and phone calls. Also coming to church, but we have appreciated watching Zoom and meet and greet. We look forward to the church opening up once more. I am sure that we will all appreciate that privilege when it happens. We will now pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the privilege of prayer when we can talk to you. Thank you for the blessings you give us each day, for our family, friends, and neighbours, and the love we can share with them. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country to worship you without fear. We lift to you the thousands of Christians for whom this is not the case. Many are in prison or labor camps, lacking in food and everyday necessities that we take for granted. Lord, lift their spirits today and help us to pray regularly for them. We pray for our government and ask that they may have wisdom in the decisions made. We think of the talks that have taken place this week, virtually, about climate change. And thank you that America and China are willing to make changes to lower their emissions. We thank you that COVID-19 is much lower here now, but pray for India, where 320,000 people died in one day on Friday. We ask that steps taken will improve the situation. Coming back to London Road Baptist, we thank you for the work that has been put in during the lockdowns to keep in touch with children and young people. Thank you for Fern and Jen and others who have put so much effort into this. And we pray that when we get back to normal, the children and young people will return. Thank you for the encouragement seen. We lift in prayer those on our prayer list and thank you for the ongoing treatment which is helping some of them. Lastly, for ourselves, I am reminded of a verse in a hymn. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our moments and our days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Amen. The reading this morning is found in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. We will now hand over to Neil for the message that the Lord has laid on his heart.
Well, thank you, Edwin and Elspeth, and thanks, Mel, and the rest of the band for leading us. And I'm going to hand over to Mel at the end of this third part of this series I've been doing, listening in on Jesus's prayers. It's interesting that here we are. It's as Mel mentioned, it's our second week of live streaming. Just want to say again a really big thank you to you all at the band, and I've got the tech desk there. And this morning on the tech desk, we've got Onaway that's joined us. We've got Mark and Fox on the tech desk. We've got John again on camera. And you've seen our wonderful band members. And here we are, we're on a building site. You're looking at the best. We wouldn't like to put the camera the other way, but it's going to be really exciting. And as Elspeth mentioned, when we'll be able to join again and meet, and it will be soon, But before that, John's arranged with Stuart to get the builders in. We'll be recarpeted, we'll be redecorated, there'll be new lighting, and it's just going to be very special when we return. But the most special thing when we return will be seeing you all, as I now have the privilege of seeing a few of us in here, socially distancing. So here we are, listening in on Jesus's prayers. This is the third in the series that I've been talking about. This is incredible. This is intimacy at the heart of God. We're Trinitarian people. And in this prayer, we have Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God, in an intimate conversation with Father God. If you want to understand the character and the nature of God, look at this prayer. Let's just move on, please, on our way. So in this section, Jesus prays for all believers. And if we go on to the next one, please. So we've looked at where, initially in this, Jesus prayed. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, or he's some sort of an environment like that. We don't quite know room, but this is a prayer overheard by the disciples on the night Jesus was betrayed. In the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we just get this little bit that Jesus says, "My will, your will, Lord, not my will." But here in John, we get a more in-depth recording of what Jesus prayed. And let's just move on, please. So, first of all, we looked at that 2 weeks ago. Jesus prayed for himself. Last week, he looked how he prayed for his disciples. But this week, this is Jesus' prayer for you. You cannot get more clarified. If you want to know how Jesus is interceding for you, how Jesus himself is praying for you, this is the prayer. So let's move on to the first text. Now, Jesus prays for all believers. Next one, please, on the way. So he says there, "My prayer is not for them alone." By that, he's saying it's not just for the disciples who are prayed for, but he says that my prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe. So in this prayer, Jesus is looking back on the events of Good Friday, couple of days' time. He's looking to us. Now, where he's got the word you change that to your name. You could put, "My prayer is not for the disciples alone. I also pray for Ray. I pray for Rick. I pray for Andy. I pray for Angie. I pray for Mel. I pray for Malcolm." This is a personal prayer for you. This is Jesus' prayer for you, all who will believe. If you don't think God loves you, look at the way he prays for you. Now, when we do a prayer time, I always like to pray in the name of Jesus. I don't add it superstitiously, but very often I say, "Lord, in your name, in Jesus' name, hear my prayer." So I'm using Jesus as an intercessor. We're not like Catholics. Don't pray through me. Don't pray through the saints. You're wasting your time. But the Word of God says, pray through Jesus. And Jesus says in the Gospels, he says, "Anything you pray in my name, I'll deliver." Well, how much more is God going to deliver the prayer of the Son to the Father? This isn't just praying in Jesus' name. This is the Son praying for you. I just think that's incredible. So you can be assured that this prayer we're looking at, Jesus has prayed for you, and God the Father, because he's heard the plea of the Son, has answered this prayer in your life if you're a born-again believer. I want to say something about that. All who believe, we're going to be looking at that. So it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe." There's something to believing. If you believe Christ is Lord, you will be saved. If you believe in Jesus and you don't unpack that word belief, it's not personal. You have to believe Jesus is Lord. By saying Jesus is Lord, you're saying he has authority over my life. So this is a prayer for genuine belief. I believe that a man called Muhammad lived about AD 700. That is a historical fact. I believe Muhammad existed, but I don't believe he was anything more than a man. So I believe in the historical fact of Muhammad, but I don't believe in Muhammad, and I've not made my life accountable to Muhammad. God forbid. So this is deeper than a cursory understanding. There is something to believe, something to agree with. And what we're saying is, because there is something to believe, you cannot drift into God's family. You cannot inherit God's family. You cannot. The only way you get as an authentic believer is to be born again. The same person who is recording Jesus' prayer here says, unless a man be born again, he cannot even understand or inherit or understand eternal life. You need to be born again. And when one is born again, you then become part of this Godhead, which John is talking about. You need to believe in me, he says, a clear message. So that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are one in me and I am one in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are Jesus' body on earth, set aside after rebirth to be one, to be part of the divine plan. May they also be in us. You know, the Holy Spirit, released at Pentecost, dwells in you. You are no longer your own. The dwelling place of God now becomes a dwelling place in man. Whereas at one time God just lived in the temple, and that's why Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You no longer belong to yourself. We are Jesus' body on earth. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are no longer free. That is, if you're born again. If you're involved in church, you are not born again. This is the whole crux of what John is saying here. And all of this happens, this oneness. We mirror the oneness on earth which the Godhead mirrors, the Trinitarian understanding. Because oneness in the Spirit leads to believing. And so this message we have at the end of Mark's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, you get the Great Commission. Go and preach the word and make people disciples. This message that John also now starts talking about both needs to be spoken and seen. And early on, Jesus prays that you will be sanctified, that you will live a different life, but that life collectively will be seen as a oneness. And so I'm going to talk about this in a minute. Let's move on to verse 22, please. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Jesus shares his renown. The God looks at you and sees glory. Jesus' glory in your life. You share in his renown. If you devalue yourself, you devalue Jesus now who dwells in you, the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Jesus delights in you. You are his family. You are born again. You are a son. You are a daughter. Please understand, Jesus loves you. He's got your photo on his fridge. He's got your picture in his wallet. My wife likes having pictures of the kids. Have you got pictures of your kids? I'm just going to ask you, Mel. Have you got them? Yeah. There we are. Are your kids perfect? Are your grandkids? We've got Andrea there. So yeah, she's got pictures of her children. Now, I'm not being disrespectful, but the boys can be challenging, can't they, Andrea? But Andrea has them pictures. And she said, and the moment, a bit at work, she said to some of the people in Andy's garage, "There's my boys. That's my boys. And I love them. They're my boys. They came out of me. I've been there, Andrea. A lot of puffing and panting. I've been there. But when you're born again, Jesus is saying, there's my boys. There's Ray. There's Rick. There's Andy. God loves you. And this is what John wants you to understand. And so this God shares his glory with you. But he wants Ray and Rick and Andy to be one. May they be one as we one, mirrored by this Godhead, three in one. I in them and you in me. I love that. Jesus is in you. He that is in you is what? I'm going to ask. Edwin was saying he's old. Edwin, what is the next verse? He that is in you is? Who can answer that? Ray. Yeah. Greater than he that is in the world. So this God that now lives in you is greater than the world, and that's why you've got authority over the world and power over the world, and you can do miracles and great things when you get your life right with God. Because he who lives in you made the world, created the world, and John finishes this in this prayer. He wants you to understand the authority and the power that you have now tapped into through this Godhead. And may they be brought to complete a unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you have loved me. Now, this unity cannot be generated by an ecumenical movement. It's always religious people that talk about an ecumenical movement. And I'm not being disrespectful, but I want you to understand that this unity is a supernatural unity given on being born again. It is not generated by a human plan. That's why Paul tells us to maintain the spirit of unity. He doesn't say create a spirit of unity. He says maintain a spirit of unity. And unity comes that when we're born again in the spirit, we're no longer separated by human birth, but we come together through a supernatural birth which binds us together. First of all, because we've responded to Jesus Christ and understood the message, but then it's got nothing to do with colour or age or background, because imputed into us is this supernatural bonding and supernatural unity. And non-born again people always say unity is something to generate rather than maintain. And that's why division in the church is so dangerous and has to be dealt with. Because Jesus is saying that one of the primary things, or the two primary things that we have to do, is get this message out about believing and be unified in the church. And the biggest opposition to evangelism in the church and in this church and in the church general is not the style of worship. It's not the program, it's not the methods we use, it's division. And Paul says, let there be no division in the church. And by division, it means gossip, it means undermining, it means backbiting, it means anarchy with no order. Hence the priority of Jesus' prayer. And I just want to be straight this morning. This church in the past knew what division was. And that's why we've returned to being a gospel, spirit-filled church, so that we can be an answer to Jesus' prayer. Unity must be based on truth, must be based on gospel methods, must be based on gospel living or a sanctified life. You know, there was a oneness in the church in the medieval times. You had one Catholic church. But the Reformation came along because it challenged a oneness that wasn't of the Spirit, a oneness that wasn't of the Word. And the Reformation said you cannot have unity without truth, and you cannot have unity without sanctified lives. So it's not unity at any cost. So division must be dealt with within the church so that we can be the answer to Jesus' prayer and be brought completely back together as one in the Spirit, declaring one message. I hope I've made some sense there in what I've said. Let's move on to the next one. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you have loved me before the creation of the world. You're going to see the glory of heaven. This is a wonderful statement of eternal security. Those who have been truly saved are eternally saved. You are saved and you're going to heaven if you think it or not. I am glad that my security is based in the nature and the character and the promises of Jesus and not in my insecurity. Because my feelings of security go up and down, and your feelings of security will go up and down. And that's why we need the constant nature, the constant understanding of God's Word, and the Word that became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us, the one and only sent from the Father. This is eternal security. The eternal Logos, the eternal Creator, the one who became temporary incarnate, returning to heaven, is going to let you see him in his glory. He shares his glory, and you will see his glory. If you have asked Jesus into your life, if you have said, Lord, I want to be born again, and you are yielding to God's Spirit, you are going to heaven. Do you deserve to get there? No. Will you always feel you're going to get there? Probably not. Because the devil, who is weaker, who is not as great as him in you, comes along every so often and he scares the pants off you. And I'm not going to illustrate that because I'm on camera. Let's move on. So, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, the world doesn't understand this. That's why you're odd. I love an area of Essex around, you can check this out, around Rochford. And the brethren and the group around there in the turn of the century call the peculiar people. Google it when you get home. We are peculiar. We are odd. We have a oneness together that the world does not understand. The world does not understand. And that's why we can't use worldly methods and have worldly values in the church. Because Jesus says that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And the big danger for the church is to become politically correct and worldly correct. The world does not understand this Jesus message. And that's why this Jesus was nailed on a cross. The world does not know you. Just before I came out, I watched Andrew Marr. And I love these politics, but that world does not know Jesus. I watch Question Time on Thursday night, and none of them can answer any of the questions because they do not know Jesus. I know it sounds awful, but I have really come to the conclusion. I had this discussion. I had a coffee out yesterday morning. In lockdown, I had my first sort of meal out. I had a mushroom sandwich, beautiful, and a cup of tea. And we was having a discussion. I think I was talking to my mate, Mally. And we were talking politics. And I'm now 63, and I've always had an interest in politics. So I can remember Michael Foot, I can remember Neil Kinnock, who I thought was great, and those days. I can remember Margaret Thatcher, I can remember John Major, I can remember Tony Blair. Who was next? That's not Winston Churchill, but Ray can remember Winston Churchill. But I can remember all the politicians, and I want to say they're still gabbling on about nothing. And the things that have affected my life in the last 40 years is my family, my health, and my faith. And the world doesn't understand. And the one thing that I hang on to now is my faith. Because I believe that Jesus is the answer. And I know that sounds glib. And if you've tapped onto this website, you're going to think, gosh, he's a nutter. But I actually think now, having been a Christian for over 40 years, I've come to the conclusion that the world doesn't understand me. And the world doesn't understand the primary things of life. And it can do a good job. And I thank God that we live in a democracy. I thank God, as Elspeth said in our prayers, that we can worship in freedom. But this world doesn't understand. And then he goes on, I know you and they know me and that you have sent me. And that's why Jesus says, nobody goes to the Father except through me. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And nobody gets to this Father God except through me. Let's move on, verse 26. Oh, it's there, sorry, on the way. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. God has not given in up with this church or any church. He's going to continue to make God known to each and every one of us. I myself may be in them. Going full circle to what I said earlier, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So as I draw to a close, what were Jesus' priorities in prayer? Well, first of all, one of his top priorities was that you listen in. This was not a private prayer. When Jesus gave some of the instructions to his disciples, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who do it in public. He says, go into your upper room and pray in private. But here Jesus says, I want the disciples of the day to hear my prayer, and I want future believers to listen in on my prayer. So first of all, Jesus' priority is that you listen in on this prayer and you never forget this prayer. And I would say, meditate if you want to understand the character and nature of God on John 17 and this prayer. And Jesus' priorities in this prayer is the glory of God. Not the glory of us. Does everything we do glorify God? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, set apart. The very principles of prayer. The second thing that Jesus prays is that you and I would be sanctified. That you and I would live different lives and would exhibit different values and different morality and different ways of living. And that's why, again, the church cannot be seen as to accommodate. We all make mistakes. You know, it's a recognition. It's not our mistakes that separate us from God, because our mistakes can be forgiven. But if we perpetuate in sin and do not recognize it as sin, we are not sanctified. Sanctified people will make mistakes, but once the church says that mistakes are mistakes, or an individual says that sin isn't sin. And so top of Jesus's prayer is the glory of God, followed by the sanctity The setting aside, that's what it means, the different lifestyle of God's people. The third aspect that Jesus wants to pray is for unity. Unity of the message and unity of its proclamation. And the final thing Jesus prays for is that there is a ministry, there is a message to the lost world. So Jesus' priorities in prayer for you and for me: the glory of God, the sanctity of your lifestyle, the unity you express in the life of the church, and the ministry of the gospel that you partake in to a lost world. And because we are one body, you don't all have to be preachers. You don't all have to be musicians. You don't all have to lead worship. You don't all have to lead prayers. You don't all have to be good on a tech desk. But the unity of the body means that working together, we can seek the lost on his behalf. For the Son of Man, Luke says in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Or as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but inherit eternal life. So as I'm closing, I'm going to hand back to Mel. I just want to say to you, is Jesus' prayer being answered in your life? Are those values reflected in your life? Because if they're not, you're living a life contrary to the very prayers that Jesus is praying for you right now and continuing to pray for you right now. I hope you've got something out of listening on Jesus' prayers. I know I have, and now I'm going to hand back to Mel.
Thank you.
seek your kingdom first, and may we seek you. May we lay down our lives for you. May we love each other as you love us. May we be kind to each other and look after each other. May we live in harmony with one another. May we bless each other as you bless us. May your peace and joy overflow through us and change us. Lord, bring healing to your world and build your kingdom here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.